Welcome to our village board meeting on Monday, October 23rd. It's a little after 7 o'clock. If I can ask the village clerk to take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi. Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Aducey.
Here.
And if I can ask everyone to stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have Greg. Greg, if you want to, please take the podium and just state your name and...
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is citizens' comments just for...
This is citizens' comments.
Yes.
My statements are not requesting administrative relief. This reading is meant to focus on human rights, civil rights, sustainability, and the environment. I have with me civil rights and environmental rights icon, Mac Robinet of Oak Park. Thank you.
Okay.
This is a, we're requesting our civil rights for housing and education. Dear board, thank you and your staff for your efforts to return my family to our River Forest home. A devastating fire occurred in our home. The home was built in 1895 as a two-flat. The home has been in our family since 1925. Insurance dollars have been distributed to replace and restore the damage. Monies will be allocated to upgrade all utilities, including sprinkler alarm systems. John Haig delivered to River Forest architectural stamped construction plans the morning of October 16th. Mr. Haig states that occupancy could occur as soon as February. AM and L Electric requested a permit for limited electric service July 19th. A demo permit was received and work performed removing damaged building components. The interior of the building has been prepared for reconstruction. We are waiting for a permit to install Pella windows and hardy siding comparable to 715 Park Avenue. All other permits have been requested to complete the restoration. If we are required to alter the building to a single-family residence, the building will lose functionality, take longer to repair, and cost substantially more. Mr. Haig states we are trying to change an apple to an orange. We formally met District 90 School Board. They are sympathetic and supportive about our damaged home across from Lincoln Elementary School. We believe our family has a civil right to housing. We believe our children have a right to continue their education. Both of our daughters are exceptional students. You'll notice I put their MAP scores. Helen is number one in her class. Kelsey is number two in her class. My mother, Helen Kenster, who held constructive ownership of 516 Park from 1996 through 2006, died yesterday. Yesterday, the Steinemann's Sustainability and Human Dignity Committee met and discussed the need for environmentally friendly, affordable housing like 516 Park Avenue. In honor of my mother, Helen Kenster, my family, in accord with the St. Edmund Committee, request the River Forest Village Board allow 516 Park Avenue to remain a two-flat. We will be happy to comply with any actions the board feels appropriate to this end. Thank you for your consideration, the Kensters. Any questions?
Well, first of all, thank you for being here, and please accept our condolences of your mother. It's sad to lose a mother or a father, so please accept our condolences on behalf of the board. I know you've had several meetings with our village administrator, who also serves as our zoning administrator. And I know some of those meetings are productive. Why don't I allow right now just to, so it's important to get not both sides of the story, but at least the full story of what's a transpiring with this issue.
I thought you shared with you all the communication. Actually,
no.
we've just an email.
Well, you met with Eric.
I've met with him once,
right,
with the contractor,
Eric,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, so Eric, if you could just give the board an update on that meeting.
Right, so just to recap, on March 26th of this year, the property in question that Mr. Kenster owns at 516 Park, it is a pre-existing legal non-conforming two-flat. There was a fire in the basement. In the basement, there was a dwelling unit that was constructed illegally. At that time, Mr. Flores, who resided in that basement, died as a result of the fire. After that time, the village, with the assistance of the village attorney, asked for an administrative search warrant in Circuit Court of Cook County. We went into Circuit Court, got that search warrant, and brought our building officials and consultants into that home and did a thorough administrative search of the house. The result of that was finding 32 building code violations from the basement and other parts of the home. This has nothing to do with the two flat. This primarily focused on what was going on in the basement. As a result, we have gone ahead and then proceeded and told Mr. Kenster he, due to the damage in the home, our zoning code is pretty clear that he would have to then convert that pre-existing legal non-conforming structure to a single-family home because more than 50% of the value of the home has been damaged. He has been advised of that. He was advised of that in a letter dated September 5th to him. He had 45 days by which to respond to that. That expired on October 20th. If he wants to seek zoning relief of some sort, we have a process within our code for variation. We've advised him that he can do that. The letter states that. So if he wishes to proceed, for a variation. He doesn't need your assistance or your permission or your consideration. He would file a letter asking for a zoning variation, and he would have to prove up his case to the Zoning Board of Appeals, and then that, of course, would come to you as the final decision maker. We are seeking fines from Mr. Kenster due to the 32 violations that we found. We can establish that many of these violations have been present for more than 3 or 4 years. If I were to total up all the fines, that would total around $11 million. I'm certainly not seeking $11 million from Mr. Kenster, but there will be a fine that he's going to have to pay to be held accountable for what took place in that fire. And it's fortunate that the other inhabitants of that residence were not hurt, that the fire did not spread, and certainly with the school being so close to that home, and had that fire taken place during the school day, there could have been a lot more things that we would have had to take care of. So it's a pretty open shut case in my mind. The fire caused enough damage to bring that home where it has to come into a single-family dwelling unit. If the property owner wishes to seek a variation, he can do so. We're seeking fines to hold the property owner accountable for his actions. And if we don't get satisfaction or some sort of settlement, we'll proceed to Circuit Court where we have a complaint on file regarding this matter.
Okay, thank
you. Can I respond?
Yes, sir, of course.
Okay. I respect
Eric's
opinion. The building is built as a two-flat. That's why I'm here. It's I was in there with John Hague last Wednesday. It's perfectly plumb. It's perfectly square. It has not moved in 120 years. To move walls is impractical. So we've tried to go halfway. We've submitted single-family plans, which essentially take out the kitchen and take out a couple of studs somewhere. But it's just the way the building's designed. It's a two-flat. So from a financial point of view, it'd probably be worth more as a single-family home. I'm sure it would be worth more as a single-family home. That's not the issue. The issue is are we going to, I go to the meetings from the village board and the school board, and they spend hours and hours talking about affordable housing and environment sustainability. This flies right in the face of it. Mm-hmm. This is affordable housing. It's a very efficient building the way it is. Right. So I'm just saying, you know, if you don't want to deal with it, that's okay. I'm dealing with Mr.
Palm.
Yeah. And so I'm sure we can resolve that. Essentially, it's a money deal with him. So as you can see.
So, well, let me just try to, there's a lot of issues going on here in terms of affordability, sustainability, and all those are very important to the board and to the village. I think the issue that I think we need to deal with is the single versus two flat.
Right, exactly. That's right.
And the fact that there was so many non-conforming issues with the two flat. So that's why there's a process that the village has had in place for many, many years, and it's called our, you know, zoning review board. And those folks review, along with our zoning administrator, those variances that is requested by residents like you. So it isn't.
I understand that the building hasn't been changed since it was built, essentially.
However, there's non-conforming issues with the building, and there were zoning issues with the building. So we're trying to get the non-conforming issues to conform to our zoning code. That's what we need to do for make it equal for everybody in the village.
No, I know that. But
and if you want a variance, we're not suggesting that you don't seek a variance.
Mr. Palm is suggesting I don't. That's part of his negotiation. He's saying he will not deal with me unless I keep it.
Well, no, I will certainly deal and talk to you. That's not what I said. What I'm saying is, in order to try to resolve the matter, I'm willing to negotiate your fine to bring it into zoning compliance, which I would do for any other resident because I think this board's been pretty clear. We seek compliance.
Right.
So I've given you an offer. You've ignored it. You've come to this meeting, and now you've essentially asked for zoning relief. You are going to have to prove hardship to the Zoning Board of Appeals, right? My suggestion is hire a good zoning attorney.
No, but you're asking me in your offer that I sign a global contract waiving those rights.
To settle this, correct. And if you don't want to do that, by all means, don't do it.
So I know. So why is that part of your settlement when it's not in the city's or the village's interest?
Well, it is in the village's interest. The zoning code.
So you're saying
the zoning code and the zoning map says that home should be a single-family home.
Okay. If that's, I'm just bringing it to the board's attention.
And we appreciate it. And it's, like Eric said, there's a process. And once it goes through our zoning board of appeals, and once it makes a decision, you always have to.
I have an answer. I'm going to be dead in a year. It doesn't really matter. We're going to sell this. I'm going to give them the money. You're going to get a single family home. I'm just bringing it. You come here, you say one thing, and then the rubber hits the road, and you know, who cares about affordable housing? Nobody. Who cares about sustainable living? Nobody.
Mr. Kenster, in all due respect, that's a complete manipulation of the facts and circumstances. You know, there's no consideration for Mr. Flores, who died tragically in that fire, and the fact that you're coming up here and trying to manipulate the situation is, I find, offensive. And I don't appreciate it.
I just suggest maybe we just both take deep breaths and
that's what I'm here.
Okay. I understand your frustration and your issues and some of your unfortunate situations.
We don't have time.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is if Mr. Palm and I can come to an arrangement, we're going to fix the building as soon as family, and it's going to be a single family. I just want to bring it up. I thought that you would be interested in saving this building. It's the neighbors want it to be a two flat. Next door is a two flat. You put a planned development unit with four units with the same square footage, acreage as my building. It's school board's okay with it. Everybody's okay with it, but it's just not going that way.
Well, no. So then bring it to the zoning board of reviews.
He won't let us.
That's not what he said.
I have never denied your ability. Let's be crystal clear about that. I've never denied your ability.
Okay. Could I help? Could I ask Mr. Palm to share your emails with the board, please?
I'd be more than happy to.
Thank you. Okay, and then we'll resolve it. We've got to get in there and get it built.
Right.
We've got single family plans delivered to Mr. Palm. Well, we've got the money. We've got to get the windows on before it starts snowing. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All righty. All right, so next up is elected officials' comments and announcements. So we can have kind of the presentation, we can have your comments after, or we can do your comments now. What would you like? After. Okay. So typically we do them before, but then everybody gets these awards and we never say you can never say as a group thank you. So I'm going to hold off on the public officials' comments and go right to the presentation. I know we have got an esteemed elected official in the audience here, Cook County Commissioner Pete Silvestri. If I can ask Pete to come up to the podium, and he's got a wonderful presentation to give to the Lemonade group. They're not all here to watch our board meeting. And perhaps Davis and Emily, maybe you could come up side by.
Yes, if they would, that'd be wonderful. Thank you.
These Davis and Emily are the co-chairs of this year's 2017 Lemonade event. So congratulations.
Thank you, Mayor and members of the board and ladies and gentlemen of the audience. Thank you for this opportunity. I think it's very important that we recognize young people, especially young people who contribute to their community and really to society in general. These two individuals represent many young people over the years who have taken a very sad situation and made it a positive situation, helping other young people who are in desperate need of assistance. Now, it's a very lengthy resolution. I know it's very difficult to understand that a politician would write a very lengthy resolution. And I know that you have a full agenda, so we're not going to read the whole resolution. But really talks about the fact that on September 11th of 2001, we had a very tragic event, and some young people decided, let's make this a positive thing and help other young people who are in some type of need. This year, I've been there several times, but this year especially, I was impressed by the dimensions and the crowd that was present at the Lemonade event on Bonnie Bray. And when I shared it with my colleagues at the county board, after we spent enormous amount of time on another issue, which I won't talk about, but it deals with sugar, which I voted against for the record. Yeah. After we talked about that at infinity, we did talk a lot about this because I think everybody was impressed with the level of dedication and the success of this group. I mean, the amount of money that these young people have raised over the years and continues with people like Davis and Emily. It's just something that we should all be very proud of, and I think you will join me in giving them speaking for all of the Lemonade young people and their parents and everyone else who's involved with this group. We should all give them a really great round of applause.
Yeah. Now, did you just bring one proclamation?
What's
for are we keeping it, or are you giving it to the charity? Or?
Well, now you're putting me on the spot.
No, I don't mean to put you on the spot. Whatever you have.
Well, the plan was to bring one tonight for them.
Okay.
And then we'll get you another one for
sure.
You. For
the, all right.
For
so
village.
We can.
That was the plan.
For the village, so we can, display all the wonderful things that go on in our village.
But let me tell you, just from my personal experience being there that day, you really felt a lot of warmth and love and I enjoyed the music from the young men from Austin. Really did a great job with the music. I just was really impressed. It was really a beautiful day, and I appreciate it. I visited with Emily. I didn't see Davis that day. I know he was there, but probably busy working, doing some work, something for the event. But it was just a really wonderful event, and I want to congratulate the parents who were involved and the other young people who were involved. Just really something that we should all be proud of, and I think that we may see replications of this in other parts of our county because of it. So
yep.
I hope we do.
So before
we'll always be proud of the fact that it started in River Forest.
Right, exactly. Right here in River Forest.
Right here in River
so
Forest.
Don't leave because we want to take some pictures. But I'll ask Davis and Emily to say a few words on behalf of the Lemonade Group.
And chivalry's not dead, so Emily goes first.
Hi, I'm Emily Edmonds. Just a little bit about our event. Our block, 700 block of Bonnie Bray, started Lemonade on 9/11/2002 to come together to remember the victims of 9/11, but also to raise money and donate to a local charity. And each year, our whole block comes together and we go through presentations and two rounds of voting to choose the charity that we want to raise money and donate to. So our first year, we raised $400, and we've come a long way, and Davis is going to talk about this year's event.
Hi, I'm Davis Birmingham. I'm the other co-chair this year, and a little slow there. This year we raised $36,000 for Kids Express.
Yeah.
Which was the thank you. Which was actually the most we've raised for one charity. So that was pretty awesome. But like Emily said, there was they came and did presentations, all the charities, and Kids Express just did a really great job presenting to us and just caught the whole block immediately as they did it. So we went over to Kids Express and we made a poster with them that they were going to make at the lemonade stand, which was a lot of fun. And the kids, we got to meet some of the kids there, and it was really fun. And then, so we raised that money for them, and they get to use the money to get new mentors for their kids so they can bring in more kids and just really keep them on the right path for life. So
super.
Feel really good about raising all that money. So
good job. Yeah. Great job.
Thank you.
Sure. And I should let you know, with young people like this, the future is bright.
Well, Pete's saying hi to everybody. I want to take this opportunity to thank him for serving River Forest for all these years at the Cook County Board table. We couldn't ask for a better representative at the county board than Peter Silvestri, and it's great to see him here tonight.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
You said it exactly as it was written. Thank you. You want his notes back?
All right, so good stuff. Next up is another great opportunity for the village here. We've got a resolution honoring the 100th anniversary of Trinity High School and creating a secondary designation for the 1200 block of Lathrop Avenue, which will be called Trinity High School Way. We need a motion, please.
I'm pleased to make the motion to approve a resolution honoring the 100th anniversary of Trinity High School and creating a secondary designation for the 1200 block of Lathrop Avenue as Trinity High School Way.
Second. Thank you.
Second.
We all second.
We all.
Everybody.
Everyone
second.
Okay.
Everyone.
Roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennig.
As a Trinity graduate, I'm honored to say yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Yeah. Motion passed.
Well, here it is. So this is yours to keep.
Right.
Because we will put one up.
We can't wait.
Yes, we can't wait. We can't wait either. I was going to read it, but, Pete kind of brought me to it. But there's so much here.
Don't pay attention, Pete.
Should I read it?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, first
took 100 years to get there.
Okay, all right. I will read it then. Okay, here's resolution number 1718, a resolution honoring 100th anniversary of Trinity High School and designating the 1200 block of Lathrop Avenue as Trinity High School Way. Okay, amen. Right. Whereas in 1917, five Sinsinawa Dominicans. Okay. There must be something behind it. Dominican sisters traveled from Sinsinawa Mound in southwestern Wisconsin to start a Catholic high school for girls in River Forest, located in a large home with a barn, and it was called Rosary House, to reflect its connection to Rosary College, now Dominican University. And whereas in 1924, the sisters purchased one half of the block at Division and Lathrop, just down the street from Rosary House, to begin construction of a new building under the new name of Trinity High School, which opened its doors to 275 female students in September 1926. And whereas Trinity High School has had a long record of academic excellence for young women, and to further this tradition, the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program was added in 1994, only the second school in the state of Illinois to implement this program. Pretty cool. And whereas in 2003, the Sister Michelle Germanson, athletic facility was built, housing a state-of-the-art gymnasium, dance studio, and health club, which was allowed many young women to train for over 25 different sports. And Trinity's recent athletic successes include the 2016 third place state basketball championship team. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. Yep, that is a woohoo. And the 2010 second place state softball championship team. Woohoo. As Trinity commences its 100 year anniversary, they will continue to challenge young women to nurture faith, pursue knowledge, and develop strength, as well as work hard, give back to the world, and know their lives have purpose. Trinity High School has been a long-standing and well-respected institution within the village of River Forest. And the village looks forward to celebrating this important milestone with current students, staff, alumni, and the community. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the President and the Board of Trustees of the Village of River Forest, Cook County, Illinois, that the board, for its members and citizens of the Village of River Forest, extend its congratulations and sincerest gratitude to Trinity High School upon the celebration of its 100th anniversary. Present this resolution as a symbol of our gratitude for the high school, for the high quality of academic excellence and community service which it has rendered. Let it be further resolved that the 1200 block of Lathrop Avenue shall have a secondary designation as Trinity High School Way. The Board of Trustees requests that the village place an honorary street name sign at the intersection of Lathrop Avenue and Division Street, which shall reflect the Trinity High School Way designation. The resolution shall be in full force and effect after its passage, approval, and publication in pamphlet form provided by law. And it's already passed. So it is. So here it
no
is.
No argument. No argument.
Nobody can take it away.
Here you go. All right, are we awesome?
Yes.
All right, 100 years of awesomeness, I tell you. I do remind them that I wasn't there when it started, because I begin to wonder some days. But I have to tell you, it so happies my heart for having shared 25 years of my life with this awesome institution, and to see what happens to the alumna that are a part of that adventure and the powerhouse of empowered women they have across this country of ours and even abroad. It's a wonderful mission. And what excites my heart is we're here for the long stay. We're celebrating our 100th. You're invited to come on the 4th of November. That's when we're going to kick off the centennial. But on the 1st of November, after we have some Roddy Doodad to affirm our founder, Father Samuel Mazzucchelli, we're all going out afterwards to go down the block. And as a group, we're going to have the sign on revealed, and there we're going to be called Trinity High School Way, which I think is so awesome, because I think it has shown the way for 100 years. When you think we started out in the farmhouse, and then we weren't supposed to have been a high school. That's what I love. You never tell Trinity people they aren't going to do what they're going to do. So we weren't supposed to be a high school. We're supposed to have held the tax-exempt status because of the war, the college from the mother house, and Cincinnawa, or Cincinnawa, as we say, is Cincinnawa, and it's named after the Native Americans. The mound that it's on is a burial site for the Native Americans. I just wanted to clear that up. I was just teasing about the sin part. And anyhow, it's a wonderful place, but we were bringing the college there to this site, but then we couldn't because of the war. They couldn't build it. So there we were, just holding the status, and then by 1922, we were Rosary High School, and then by 26, we, of course, were Trinity High School. And when Dominican University changed its name from Rosary College to Dominican University, I had a call from the local newspaper saying, "So, Michelle, are you going back to Rosary High School?" I went, "No, no way, no way." But anyhow, I thank you from the bottom of my heart to you, Kathy, who's a dear friend to Trinity, and to the board, certainly. We are privileged and honored and blessed to be a part of the River Forest community. You've always supported who we are, and it's quite evident in all that you've done to make this experience good for us. We're proud of our young women, and I'm so glad two of them came tonight. So thank you again for who you are. We got a lot of celebrating to do. Thank you. Thank you. All right, here, picture. Here we go.
And I can't wait to do a Roddy Doodah, whatever that is. Roddy Doodah, here we go. Yeah. Okay, we've got one more presentation. This one's going to be a neat one as well. Brought that. Okay. Well, we've got another great presentation. I'd like to invite Ethan up to the podium. So Ethan, he's a 17-year-old Fenwick Jr., and he's an Eagle Scout candidate. He was the inspiration of this MakerFest event that happened at the River Forest Library. He was collaborating with River Forest Troop 65. So each year, tens of thousands of Boy Scouts try to strive and achieve the coveted Eagle Scout rank, and one of the rank requires to plan, develop, and give leadership to others in a service project helpful to any institution. So Ethan is fulfilling his service project by collaborating with the library on the MakerFest for over a year now. So I'll let you take this on, Ethan. I mean, this is a great opportunity to hear about you. What a wonderful... I went to the MakerFest event at the library. It was a great fest.
Thank you.
Showed off a lot of great products, technology projects. I know you've got a phenomenal project that we'd like to hear a little bit more about. So maybe you can talk a little bit about your project and then, you know, the success of the MakerFest project.
All right. Event. Well, firstly, I'd like to thank the community for its prolonged support of my project and everything that I've been doing with the Eagle Scouts, and also thank my troop leader, Mr. Harkins, for all his support in leading quite a wonderful troop here in River Forest.
Yeah.
And also thank you, President Aducci, for having me present on this. So for those of you that don't know my Eagle Scout project, it was hosted at the River Forest Library on October 7th, so a few weeks ago, and the objective was to promote a DIY, more creative, and technology state of mind in our community and give a stronger influence of it. And we did this by taking 11 different organizations. I'm written down here if anyone's interested to know, but taking 11 different organizations to create a convention-like atmosphere and really give everyone a good experience of electronics and creativity, which I think it did a wonderful job of. We had 275 people attend the event, which was very surprising. We expected around 50, to be honest. Overall, everyone seemed to enjoy the festival a lot. We had stations where people were learning to solder, we had drone presentations. We had my 3D printers going on that my company presented, and we had a lot of other local organizations showing off their tools and different camps and events and things like that that promote technology and creativity within our community. So that was very fun time.
Right.
So
will you continue to do that at the library? Is that still up in
there? We're talking about it because it was quite successful. Personally, I won't be hosting it as much as I was this year because collaborating and figuring out all the logistics of it was actually my part of the project, but it's possible that might happen again. And I should mention my project, and essentially my project over the past few years, and now I've turned it into a company. It's a 3D printer, not that one in the back, but I did bring one for demonstration purposes with some props if anyone would like to see that later. But over the past 4 years, I've run an online business refurbishing broken 3D printers. I'd take them in. I design and 3D print parts for those printers, and then I would sell them off. And after 4 years of getting different printers, I noticed each one of them seemed to come with its advantages, but also its disadvantages, and in the end it became very frustrating because I never knew what I was going to get, and a lot of them had errors. So starting in June, I began my designs for a new 3D printer. I presented the first model of it over at my MakerFest. And I started a company based off it. I started my company, Creative 3D Technologies, and I'm now gained a lot of different business partners, people of the sort, and have some of the biggest names in 3D printing backing me. Essentially, it's biggest, fastest, and least problematic 3D printer on the market at a much discounted price.
Wow. That is awesome. Wow, that is awesome. Well, it's we're gonna get a picture, Ethan, before you leave. But I gotta.
It's a typical product that your printer.
It's more what it can't print. I mean,
stuff like that.
It can print.
Yeah, see, that's what I was gonna ask. The market.
Sure. So, my market and how I chose the pricing for this printer is right in the middle of all the people that buy 3D printers. So essentially, there's three tiers when it comes to 3D printing. There's a consumer level, which are all the people that are DIY enthusiasts and engineers, people like that that want a tool for their home and enjoy it and just for fun. Then there's small businesses, which is a bit more expensive than most of the consumer level ones. And then there's industrial, which is for producing products and parts. Mine's kind of in the middle. So it's on the lower end of pricing. The final price is going to be $6,500. Wow. But if you back my Kickstarter, which will be early to mid-November, you can get it as low as $4,000.
Wow.
Anyway.
Fabulous. Wow.
So it'll hit a consumer level market, but also the technology within it and the actual build space on it is impressive enough for small businesses to be interested, and it's big enough to compete with industrial. The closest printer to it, just size alone, costs about $16,000. So,
I hope you've copyrighted
your
I haven't done the whole patenting route. I want to keep it open source and build the community. That's why I believe 3D printing's advanced so quickly. The community's been open source. So when, because most people using them are engineers, people of the sort, when they'd buy them, they'd build upon the technology, and that's how it's developed so quickly. So I do have licenses over the parts, so people can't just take it and sell my same product off, but it still keeps it open to community for development and
interesting.
Yeah, it's very
tinker
interesting.
Around with.
All right.
Well, congratulations, Ethan. Yeah. It's a great
thank you.
Project.
Thank you.
Would you like to
take
a picture with your
photo? Sure.
Yeah. Awesome.
Sooner than later.
All right. I'm looking forward to hearing about your success.
Thank you.
I don't know. Beautiful.
That's awesome.
That's great. Well, we had three great presentations that just shows you the vibrance and the beauty of this community. So, wow. Okay, so now we'll do the elected officials' comments and announcements. So we'll go ahead and start with, go ahead, Mike.
I can't top any of that other than, again, going on record for thanking Peter Silvestri for coming to the meeting tonight. He's an integral supporter of the village, and anytime Pete wants to come to Village Hall, I'm happy to see him.
I also want to thank Commissioner Silvestri for recognizing the lemonade event. It was very nice of him to do that. I'm also, as I said earlier, honored to have recognized Trinity's long history and accomplishment, and just that I'm blown away with our last presentation. That's I feel like a slacker.
Only if you're 17. Okay, great. Thanks, Patty.
Continually impressed by this community and blown away by what we have here in so many different facets. It's just incredible, and I just want to give them all their due respect and credit, and thanks for coming and sharing them with us today.
Yeah. Thanks, Susan. Kathleen?
Yeah, along the same vein, I just think one thing that ties all three of these celebrations and commemorations are the strength of the youth in this community and surrounding areas between Lemonade and what and their inspirations and giving to others, and then what Trinity does for the women in our communities, and then as the mother of an Eagle Scout, wife of a former Eagle Scout, I have such respect for that whole process and all those that take it on and achieve it. So a lot of hearty congratulations to everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Russ? Ditto with all the trustees' comments, and that's how old I am. We started with ditto machines as opposed to the printing machines that are currently there. So.
True. That's so funny with the ink. And your
exactly. Right. The blue ink and the smell light.
Well, again, congratulations to everyone. Thanks to Commissioner Silvestri for attending our meeting. He's a longtime friend and also someone I worked for 23 years, so proud to have him represent our village at the county level. Congratulations to Trinity, which would have been my high school had I still lived in the area.
Yeah.
And then I would not have met Katie, who was my classmate at Glenbard West High School. So great institution and great decisions to continue keeping that as an all-girls institution back when the board was facing some challenges. So those folks like Mr. Coleman, who was a very integral part of the board at that time, making those decisions to create such a vibrant school for girls and creating that avenue for young women, and the baccalaureate program, obviously, such a great institution and part of that school. And Lathrop is our street, so I'm excited that it'll be the howdy, what did we call it? The howdy,
howdy
doody.
Yeah. Howdy dooda.
Please invite us to the howdy doody celebration. And then also Ethan, what a great inspiration. And I was going to ask where he's going to be going to school. I'm obviously an engineering person, but yeah, as a junior, I'm sure he's looking at colleges, and he's probably going to have great success.
I want to see Michigan. He told me.
Awesome. Thank you. And I have nothing else to report. Thank you.
Okay. And for the sake of repeating everything, I will just say ditto for Commissioner Silvestri. He is one of a kind. Carmella, you probably, you get his humor so much more than we all. No, we love Pete. He's a great guy. He has done a lot for this village in many ways, helping us with the county, helping us with grants. We're in pursuit of two major grants right now with some of the bike studies. So he's great, and I'm glad he's our commissioner. Of course, Trinity High School, I am a product of an all-girls school, so I didn't go to Trinity, but I did go to Elizabeth Seton, which did close, unfortunately, and that is the trouble with all-girls schools. They need to thrive, and I think Sister Michelle and all the gals that go there are making a great, Patty, I don't know if I knew you were into Trinity, so congratulations on that. I do think they produce some great women. As far as Ethan, it's funny. When I met him at the Maker Fest, I was just you know, blown away by his not only his intelligence, but his you know, demeanor about, you know, how he does things and how confident he is. So he's gonna be someone we will know in the news very soon. So other than that, I have nothing else on my list. So we will go ahead and move to the consent agenda. If I can ask a board member to give me a motion to approve consent agenda A through G.
All right, so moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. If I can ask the clerk, I'll remember this now, to read the consent agenda, please.
Consent agenda A, regular village board meeting minutes, October 9th, 2017. B, committee of the whole meeting minutes, 10-16-17. C, approved change order number one final for the 2017 curb and sidewalk program for $8,988.89 resolution. D, approved change order number one final for the 2017 sewer relining program for $43,777.50 resolution. E, monthly financial report. F, accounts payable September 2017 $1,728,314.25. G, village administrator's report.
Okay, very good. Any discussion, questions on the consent agenda items? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and ask the clerk to take the vote.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Conti?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Passed.
Okay. So then item six is the consent agenda items requiring separate consideration. Due to Trustee Vasquez conflict. So I'm going to ask for approval to 6A. Okay.
Motion to approve vendor payments for North Avenue TIF, Madison Street TIF, and economic development funding totaling $623,936.72.
Second.
Okay. Go ahead and read it, and then we will vote on it.
Before she does, yep. I just, again, yep. For technical purposes, since my law firm does represent the School District 90 and School District 200, I do have that common law conflict, and so I'm going to ask the clerk not to call my name.
Okay. We're ready for yep. vote, please.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passed.
Okay, so next up is recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. This one, Beth is in the audience. I am recommending that we appoint Beth Chang to the Sustainability Commission to replace Mindy Creedy, who has resigned that position due to working with the OPRF. So I would like to present Beth. She's got an enormous credential in environmental work. She's executive director of the Friends of the Oak Park Conservatory. You're a co-chair of the Roosevelt Green for Good PTO committee. You're the District 90 liaison for Good Green for Good. And you had environmental law practice early in your career, so I can't ask for a better candidate to to be on this commission. So I'd like to
Make a motion to approve the appointment of Beth Chang to the Sustainability Commission with the term ending April 30th, 2019.
Very good.
Second.
Okay. Very good. Beth, if you can, there's Beth right there, if anybody wants to meet her. Any questions for Beth?
Good luck.
Good.
Thank you for volunteering.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're glad to have you. Thank you. Okay, so let's take an official vote, and we'll get you to work.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Conte?
Yes.
Trustee Hennick?
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs?
Yes.
Trustee Corsini?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Well, congratulations, and we're glad to have you. Thank you. All right. Okay, next up is unfinished business, and I'll let Eric do this. This is an update on the request for Lake and Park.
Yep, real quick, the Lake and Park work group met last week to review a draft of the RFQ-RFP for the Lake and Park site. There were some good dialogue, good conversation about that. So the consultant's taking that information, going back to the to go ahead and make those revisions and changes. A revised draft will be coming back out to the work group later this week. It'll ask for comments on a quick turnaround, and then this will be before you on November 13th, which is your next Village Board meeting for consideration. Assuming you're fine with that, we'll then go out to the street and try to get some responses back early in, I should say, mid-December. We'll try to get the responses back to by December and then start narrowing the window in January. And just to be clear, when you see it, it's going to be a two-step process. We're going to see qualifications first from developers that will allow essentially a minimal amount of effort required on the developer part. On the front end, look to narrow that down to one, two, or three different developers that the village wants to work with. At that point, meet with the remaining property owner to try to flesh out some sort of meeting of the minds there, and then once those things are in place, then we can start moving forward and hammering out what the development ultimately looks like. So it's a little bit different than what we've done in the past, trying to learn from some of our previous go-arounds, try something a little bit different that we think will achieve optimal success. So more to follow on November 13th.
Okay. Really good. Well, thank you. And thank you to the subcommittee for working on this. Appreciate it. Okay.
Can I just make one mention, too? Yep. Just in case, oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Just as a reminder, the pension funds and the Finance Committee are meeting next Thursday, the 2nd, for our pension funding discussion. So I just want to make sure that the board remembers
next Monday.
Thursday.
Oh, Thursday.
The 2nd, yes.
8 a.m.
Thursday.
And just want to give the board an update that was occurring. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks. Okay, and then the last one is, we forgot to talk about the subcommittee.
Right, so Trustee Kargi was unable to be here tonight, so he asked me just to give you a quick report. In front of you at your place is a survey that's going to go out shortly from the subcommittee on collaboration. So this is a survey that's going to be a joint effort. If you recall, we engaged Jessica Turman to help put this together, and they're really focusing on communication efforts from each of the districts. And obviously there's a lot of overlap on these types of things and trying to drill into what residents are looking for a little bit more from their governing bodies and trying to do it holistically as opposed to in silos and things like that. So this is their effort. This is what they put together. This will be going out, like I said, shortly. And so if you have any comments, if you could let me know in the next day or so, I can try to incorporate them. Otherwise, this has been pretty well vetted by the committee and the consultants, so we should be in pretty good shape.
Great. Is it going to be online or how?
Yes.
Okay. Like a Survey Monkey type
yeah.
thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to be done that way?
No, we'll have paper copies available as well. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And how are you notifying? Is this just going to go out to...
Right, so this will go out to residents of River Forest. I think they're working on a postcard. I got to check with Jonathan on that, but definitely through the website, through e-news, and that'll get blasted out through every communication channel, electronic communication channel that each of the districts have. So we're hoping that way we'll get a lot of overlap.
Okay. Yeah, I just have one thing. I probably should have brought it up during our comment part. Elmwood Park put a fence up around where their water dumps into the river. I think there have been problems with people playing in the pipes, mm-hmm. people the youth of America. Have we had the same thing going on here? I actually saw a guy walking across Thatcher with a towel around his waist coming from the river. And that was bizarre.
1,400 or 1,500 black on Thatcher.
Where our big pipe goes in, are we having issues there? Because clearly Elmwood Park was having trouble with theirs because they just put a fence around it.
We haven't gotten calls on that. We had heard that some kids were talking, I think, on social media about using that area. We've had officers do premise checks on that, but we haven't gotten any calls on that. And the times that I stopped by there, I haven't seen any evidence of like beer bottles or anything. But that doesn't mean that it's not something to be concerned about, but we didn't get any calls on it.
Sometimes my wife Sally is more into what the heck's going on in town than I am, just because she hears it from the other moms in town. And the talk with the kids was that that big pipe is big enough to go into. So,
wow,
just something that
that's dangerous.
It's 96 inches tall. Yeah. That door frame is 84.
It's amazing.
So right, we have heard anecdotal information about that. The challenge that we've had, and John Anderson and Jeff Loster have started to take a look at this, is trying to find something that you can put over it, like that fence.
What Elmwood Park did looks horrible. So,
well, and the challenge is you start putting things in front of it, debris gets in there, and then obstructs the water from coming out. So we've been taking a look at that.
They put a fence from the river
up to the
street. Can we
put a video of
surveillance
around there?
And then back to the river again. It's horrible.
Can we put cameras around
that? What they did.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I'll have to go take a look.
Wait. Can we, like, put cameras around so that we can, I mean...
Well, you did put a sign, right?
To really
said no trespassing.
I mean, you can look into that. I don't think that... I think when I was there, I didn't actually crawl down there, but I think it's got a little bit of a pool there where the water overflows into. But I don't think it's tall enough for anybody to stand up in there and walk.
But if they go over...
Oh, in the pipe?
No, it is
if
big
they
enough.
If they go over there, there's... So we have the big round pipe, and then there's like a dam wall that the water goes over. If they go over that wall, they can go into that pipe and go all the way to Harlem in that pipe.
Holy cow. So we should make it a minimum, a big sign that says danger. If we don't have that already, I don't recall.
Didn't we put a no trespassing
danger,
sign?
No trespassing.
I think we put a no trespassing.
I mean, the biggest
sign
you could, without making it gaudy, you know, to really...
So can someone call Elmwood Park and see what prompted them to do what why they did what they did?
Yeah, we can check that.
Because it's probably a safe bet if that's going on there, that the kids a half a mile south have probably figured that out too.
We want to avoid liability issues, so we need to make sure that we're.
And we'll look into it. But I mean, anything else we can do to deter, you know, kids to go in there, short of putting up a fence right now is important. Not to say we shouldn't put that up, but there's certain things we can do.
I mean, we had 2 months of a drought, so there wasn't a drop of water in our stormwater thing, so.
Ay. All right. Okay, thank you. Any other new business? Okay, then that concludes our board meeting. So if I can get someone to adjourn to executive session.
Yeah. What are we discussing? Move to adjourn to executive session to discuss the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the village, and the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the village, including whether a particular parcel should be acquired.
And after speaking with the village attorney, can we add probable and imminent litigation?
And probable and imminent litigation.
Second.
All in favor.
All in favor.
Roll call on this.
I thought it was going to be a roll call.
Going out.
Bye. Going out is a
while.
Okay. All right. Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
I move to go into open session.
Second.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi, absent. Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conte.
Here.
Trustee Hennick.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Here.
President Ducey.
So, would you like to share, Trustee Gibbs?
It's going around. Oh, so for the sake of the recording, I traveled over Madison Street and noticed that there are posts installed in between the tracks with red signage, basically closing the tracks.
Between the two townhomes?
On the River Forest side of Madison.
It looks like they could be easily removed if it doesn't, like, destroy the tracks. Just, no, I mean, that it doesn't necessarily look like it's permanent.
Yep. So what do you think that they did it?
You saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's the point?
Okay.
Oh, so you can't.
Does that make it permanent? Or
no?
I don't know.
I would imagine that before they could use those, they'd have to come into some compliance because they're pretty panicked.
We can always just.
So our next meeting is not until the 13th, right?
Yeah.
That might be an interesting thing for
11/13.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Put it in the paper.
Are we moving to adjourn?
Yes, I think that's the report.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.